Today I'm talking with Dr. Ronnie Floyd, the pastor of Cross Church in Springdale, Arkansas. Dr. Floyd is a leader in evangelism. Ronnie, I've watched you for years in your ministry, and the one thing I know about you is that you're passionate about seeing people come to Christ. Having pastored for many years, preparing sermons, one of the areas that I see that is often neglected is the invitation. We share a message about the cross, we tell people how to come to Christ, and then we don't give them clear instructions on how they can trust Christ. Could you talk to us today about the importance of the invitation in the gospel message?
Well, Larry, thank you for the privilege, and it's always a joy to talk to pastors. And I think one of the most critical things that every pastor has to evaluate is how much of the gospel is he really including in his messages. The invitation has to be begin to be given, even many times at the introductory point of the message. Or I've even done it where even in the welcome, I might refer to, now today, if you're here and you have been searching for God, or perhaps you're looking for a relationship with God, in a few minutes I'm going to come and I'm going to speak, and with the conclusion of my speech, I'm going to talk to you about how to come to know Christ, and I hope that you will come to know Christ. So that's just a gesture towards it. But I think the real critical thing is a man of God evaluates his preaching. How much of the true gospel message have I been able to give? If we have not given some of the essentials, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was raised on the third day, by what we read in 1 Corinthians 15, if we don't somehow or other bring that into every message, then obviously response is going to be limited. So when I look at how to give the invitation, I think, first of all, I've got to be intentional. In my church, you can count on the following four things occurring. First of all, I will give a gospel invitation for people to come to Christ. I will take time for that. I will say, now listen, today, if you're here and you have never given your life to Jesus Christ, if there's never been a time when you have knowingly and willingly offered your life to Christ and trusted Him to be your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to come in just a moment. So I may go down on that some at times. I may even lead in what we would call or categorize a sinner's prayer on some Sundays. I do not do that consistently, but I do that, especially in major events or on specific days when I know the call really needs to be more than clear. A second thing I will do is that I will always offer during the invitation the opportunity for people to come and unite with Cross Church of Northwest Arkansas. And so that will be consistent. A third thing I will do is, and I've done this for a number of years now, pretty well every Sunday morning, it'd be rare that I don't do it. I offer an opportunity. Now listen, if God has been dealing with your life about entering missions or ministry, I want to urge you today to come and surrender your life to full-time Christian ministry. So I will talk about that briefly. And depends on the message, I might refer back to the message. You know, as we said today, the Apostle Paul had a decision to make. You've got a decision to make, or whatever it may be. And then the fourth thing we really try to do is to always give an opportunity for people to come and pray, for people to really come and seek the Lord. Perhaps God has spoken to your life today through the message. I want to urge you to come and to just kneel here at this front area of our church we call an altar. And we'd like for you to just come and deal with God. And perhaps you're going through something in your life today that has absolutely nothing to do with the message, but you really need to come and talk to God, or even have one of our pastors pray with you. Would you come? You'll notice the intentionality. So I think the second thing is consistency. I think people need to know what's coming. A lot of times in church world, we want to be creative. I'm all for being creative. But when it comes to the invitation, we need to be consistent. And if you're consistent, then your creativity needs to fit into that consistency. While you might do one week the gospel opportunity of that in one way, the next week this way, but at least be consistent in how that would happen. Let me illustrate some of that consistency at Cross Church. For example, I will immediately move people 90% of the time straight to prayer at the conclusion of my message. Whether I tell a story, whether I am moving towards it, I will say, "Now listen, would you please bow your head right now all over the room?" And I want to ask that no one get up, leave, or move. This is the most important time of the service today. We will dismiss you when the service is over. Now I want you to listen very carefully to me right now. And I will begin to offer that, those four things right there in that situation. Now, have I ever done it the other way? Absolutely, I've done it the other way. But again, consistency is very, very important. So I will have them do that. And then even before we ask the congregation to begin to sing, I wonder today, as soon as I pray, who needs to come? And I will say a brief prayer. And then I will say, "Now listen, are you ready to come? Those of you that want to give your life to Christ, would you slip to the nearest aisle? Make your way. Come to one of our pastors right now. Those of you that believe God is leading you to join our church, would you come?" I know there's some here today looking for to surrender your life to ministry or missions. Or maybe today, why don't you lead the way? You just need to come and pray. Even before we begin to sing, why don't you just slip out to the nearest aisle? Walk here. People will begin to walk. People will begin to walk. Counselors will begin to come. All of a sudden, there's movement in the auditorium, and people can sense it even though they may not can see it. All right? And then our singers will begin to sing. And then, usually after they have done maybe 30 seconds, maybe a verse, whatever it may be, sometimes it's hard to know when a verse takes place in music today. And so with that, I say, "Now listen, we've all sung this song. I want to urge you to get up and sing it with me." And now, would you all please rise? You'll see the words on the screen. Would you please come today? Don't wait. Come. And so with that, there is consistency. I think another important item, with speaking of music, is that it during that time, you need to use something that the people know. If you're going to ask them to sing it, then you need to use something that they know or they're knowledgeable of. One thing we will do is we, many times there will be a song that is sung in worship on that day that we may come back and do as the invitation. That may not be what we would call a typical, categorized as an invitation song, but we will do it on the basis of God created a moment, and we want that moment once again to be created. So I think the music is critical. Usually after the music goes for a while, Larry, then what I will do, I will say, "Now listen, in just a moment, we're going to bring conclusion to this," and I will stop the music. I'm saying, "Listen, today, I appeal to you one more time. If you have never given your life to Jesus Christ, this is the most important decision. Don't leave our campus without it." Now, what am I doing? I'm doing a third thing. Urgency. Urgency. So I think many times pastors are passive in giving an invitation. That's why we have passive invitations. But we need to give it with urgency. You say, "Well, I don't know if I can do that in my church. I mean, we're only around 40 or 50. Well, listen, there are people in your church that are lost, that need Christ. And you're saying everybody's in your church walking with Jesus, being with Jesus, they're ready for Christ to come. It doesn't matter what size church you're in. You know, I mean, there are Sundays that I give the invitation that when the service is over, I want to go and recommit my life to doing something else because I don't get the response that I might want. But it's not their response to me. I have had to learn as a pastor, their response to God has nothing to do with me. God didn't call me to be accountable for their response. God called me to be accountable for what He asked me to preach and for how He wants me to extend the invitation. And when I'm accountable to that and I just do it, I'm a delivery boy. I'm just like the guy that delivers your paper on a Sunday morning. That's all I am. I'm chunking it out there. Now, whether or not you're going to get it out of the bag and you're going to read it, that's between you and God. And that's what I have to do. So I think when you look at it, I've got to be gospel driven in my preaching. That doesn't mean I preach evangelistic every week. Please don't misunderstand that. But there will be a gospel element there. I've got to be consistent. I've got to be urgent. And then I think a final thing, and with this I'll close, and that is I have to be personal. You know, many times people will identify with your life. And so maybe if you've gone through something, that week would be a good time to chunk that in somewhere. Or perhaps You know, I realize there are many of you teenagers here today. I was 15 years of age when I came to Christ. I was in a small church, you know, and wherever you may be. And you know, so the personal dynamic is important. Never underestimate the power of the personal testimony. So I think with that, and I do it with urgency, and just one other little note, and I don't mean to be adding on, but I might as well, clarity. People cannot and will not respond to what they do not understand. And we've got to make sure we are extremely clear. And we've got to hear it through their ears, see it through their eyes, rather than through our eyes and what we're used to saying. Clarity is important. So with that, I think when we give those kinds of invitations, we're going to see more people come to faith in Jesus Christ.
Ronnie, thank you so much. You have really helped pastors today with the invitation. You said something as you were sharing that it doesn't matter what size church you're in, that there are people sitting out there that probably don't know Christ. I was preaching in a small church 2 weeks ago, 100 in attendance, same 100 basically who have been there every Sunday for years. Two adult men trusted Christ. But it happened because they were given a clear invitation.
Amen.
And they were told that it's not about being religious, it's not about being a church member, it's about coming to Christ. And they were given permission to come. I think sometimes, as you said, people don't respond because they don't know what we're asking.
Right.
Many of them don't have a Baptist background. They don't know what our Baptist stuff's about.
Sure.
So thank you. You've helped pastors tremendously today. Pastors, I hope you've been encouraged. I know that you have. I know Dr. Floyd well. I know he loves pastors and he loves the local church. I pray that you will incorporate some of the things that you've heard today in your invitation and watch what God does as he begins to bring people to Christ in your community.